We are coming to the final few messages as we get ready to end our month and end our series. But we've been on a journey about called by name, that God specifically calls us and individually calls us, even in the moments, like Pastor Scott said a few weeks ago, when we're not ready, even when we feel unqualified. He calls us in our fear. He calls us in our dysfunction, but we need to deal with that dysfunction, as we learned even last week. He calls us in our compromise, but he wants us to not compromise, but instead to deal with it. But today, as we round the corner to the final two, I want to ask you this question. When you get scared, what is one of the natural responses that we have besides screaming, even sometimes screaming with a high-pitched scream? When we get scared, the first thing, some is pray, and that's really spiritual, but that's not always my first one. Usually, if I get scared, sometimes all of a sudden my pitch changes. It takes a lot, really big snakes and a few other things, but other than that, surprised by a snake, and all of a sudden you will hear a high-pitched squeal, and I will do something else. Run. Because when we get scared, we have a tendency to go, ah, and then we run, and we think as long as we are faster than the slowest person in our group, we're fine. You laugh because you thought it. But in those moments, I want to talk this morning about another individual who was on the run, who had been called and set apart. But when he had the call upon his life, just like many of us have, where he's called and has a purpose and a plan, where maybe he's called you to do something or to go and share the good news, because of fear or because of other things, we become reluctant to obey the call and ready instead to run the other way. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I think if we're honest with ourselves, that like the title of our message today, that some of us have lived on the run. That when God has maybe called us to talk to a friend or a neighbor about Jesus, or he's called us to love someone that we just don't really want to, or to give grace or mercy to someone that we're like, they just did me wrong, I don't want to extend that. Instead of obeying, we run. And so this morning, we want to unpack a little bit about that truth, unpacking the truth of God's grace, and then looking at the truth that some of us and some others have some hearts that need to be changed. So instead of running, we would say, here I am, Lord, I'm willing to obey. So this morning, to go on the journey, we're going to look at a famous individual from Scripture, and his name is Jonah. Reading from Jonah 1, verse 1 to 5, and this is what it said from the New Living Translation. It said, the Lord gave this message to Jonah. It said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in what direction? The opposite direction. He got on the run to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind and a storm over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So we've heard the account, and when we think of Jonah, and we're going to be looking at different parts throughout Jonah's, throughout the book. But when we think about Jonah, we think about Jonah and the whale, the big fish. We think about the Sunday school account, and we're like, well, what does that really mean to me and you today as adults here in this place or online? And I want to say that it says a lot. There's a lot of truth here this morning that I think if we would look it straight in the eyes, we would say, ouch or amen, and maybe both sometimes. Because I believe that even myself included from times have done the first truth, and that is run from the call. Jonah had a call from God. He was a prophet. His main job was to share, to hear the word of God and to share that with others. His main calling on his life was to share the news and share the message of God. As followers of Jesus, one of our main tasks is to do what? Share the good news, share the message of God to those around us. So Jonah gets this message. He says, you're called to go to Nineveh and proclaim God's message of repentance. His response, no way, not there, and here's a big one, not to those people. Not to those people. When you hear those words, those people, that gets you, doesn't it? Because maybe in our journey, we have been classified as those people. And this is the response of the prophet Jonah, that God said, go and share the news of repentance. Give them an opportunity, even though they are wicked, as we're going to see. Even though they've done all these different mistakes, even though that they are yours and your nation's enemies, even though they are brutal, even though they are one of the cruelest nations of the time, they are one of the superpowers of the time, and so they're apart with like Assyria in this moment. They were brutal and brutalistic in everything that they did, and they were against the people of God. So God says, go and tell them about repentance. Go and tell them to turn from their wicked ways. And Jonah in this moment, he says, not a chance. Why? I think first, maybe there was a moment of fear. Fear of what would they do? Because imagine walking into your enemy in those moments and saying, you know what, hey, the things you're doing are wicked and wrong. Would you change your ways? And these were very wicked. They ruled by power and by fear. So there would have been a little avenue of fear there of what would they do? What would the Ninevites do to me if I entered through the town? What could they happen to my life? But the greater fear that was actually dictating Jonah's life here was a fear of what if God actually showed grace to them? What if God actually extended mercy? And I can say that because in Jonah 4, he said, the reason I ran the other way, the reason that I got on the run was I know that you are God filled with loving kindness and mercy, and I was fearful that you would do something wicked and evil. And you're like, well, God doing something wicked and evil, that doesn't go together, that doesn't work. And it doesn't. But in Jonah's eyes, wicked and evil was extending mercy and grace to a people group that he didn't like. Oof. All of a sudden, the Sunday school message got a little bit deeper. It got to a little bit more of an ouch moment. And that's what's happened. So why would that prophet of God do that? Why would he respond? Who were the Ninevites? We have that understanding. But sometimes our greatest obstacle to God's call is not fear, but it's actually bitterness. It's unforgiveness. Because I want to ask you the question. You don't have to look at your neighbor and say the answer. A little bit later, I might have you talk to your neighbor, but not right now. But in this moment, I want to ask, who would be your Ninevites? In your life, because God's called us all to be carriers and messengers of the good news, we're called to the Great Commission, which is to go and share the good news and be disciples who make disciples. But how many know that there are some people in your life and in your journey that have hurt you and you're like, God, I don't want to see grace. I want to see your judgment on them. That's just me, right? There's some people that were like, God, I know I'm supposed to love them, but I sure don't like them. But in those moments, this is what's happening with Jonah as he's wrestling with it. And I think that we have that same journey. And if it's not the Ninevites, where is your Nineveh? Where God has called you to go, where God has called you to serve, where God has called you to love, where God has called you to step out of your comfort zone and maybe out of what you feel is right to go and serve, to go and bless, to go and share the good news. And church, we have to be willing to say, I hear your call, God. I will obey instead of getting on the run. And so when we think about this journey of who is our Ninevites and who are those ones that we would be like Jonah too, I want you to ponder for just a second and say, who pushes all my buttons? You know, and we're not talking spouses or kids because at times those buttons are okay to be pushed. They all happen. But I'm talking about that individual that every time they come into your workplace or every time they're in your school or every time that neighbor now is taking all of their grass trimmings, I have a great neighbor, but all their grass trimmings and they're like, nobody sees, and they're dumping them all on your side because they want the pristine lawn. I'm sure in those moments you're like, I don't want to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell them something else. In those moments, we all have that strip. We all have that tension of like, but God, I don't want to. We want to act a little bit like a toddler and have a temper tantrum and say, but God, no. But he's saying yes. He's calling us to respond. So let's think about who could be our Ninevites and where could be our Nineveh. Think of this, someone who hurt you or someone else, and you're like, no, God can never forgive them. You disagree with or whom are different than you, maybe socially, politically, economically. Someone who lives in a way that you find offensive and you feel God couldn't or shouldn't love or bless them. In our world, if we are honest with ourselves, especially through different seasons of our time, the church has been known for what we hate more than who we love. And it doesn't mean that we sometimes affirm decisions and journeys, but often we sit there and say, God, you could never minister to them. God, you could never do that. We need to shut our doors so that those people can't come in. But when we say those people, who do we sound like? Do we sound like Jesus or do we sound like Jonah? Because in those moments, what he's calling us to, it doesn't mean that it's always in agreement, but it does mean that his grace and his mercy came, as we're going to see, for all. Jesus was on a cross for us, all of us, while we were broken in our sin. And if he's called us to share the good news with who? The whosoever. Then we have to realize that we have to get our hearts right. Otherwise, we will get on the run and we will miss the blessing, and others will miss the blessing that God had planned for them. Because sometimes the people we avoid are the very ones he wants us to reach. Sometimes the people that we avoid are the ones that God has continuously placed in your path, because for such a time as this, he has placed you there for a life change in them. And we're running away saying, I'm annoyed with you, you drive me nuts, you've hurt me, I don't want to talk to you about the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. So we run the other way, and then we say, when I ran over here, they somehow got here. Ever been around that? You're like, I changed my office space and somehow they still got there. I went to another work and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we got a new hire. And they're like, how did you get here? Maybe, just maybe, God is orchestrating that journey because they're the ones that he's called you to share and embody the goodness of the gospel to. Because we're not here on this earth just to take up space and to steal each other's oxygen. We're here because we have a purpose, and one of those greatest purposes is to go and share the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came, he died for us, he rose again, and he's coming again. That's what he's calling us to, and that good news is for everybody. You can tell I'm passionate about that part. But what happens when we do run? Because let's be honest, myself included, there was times, especially when we were living in a smaller town, I just wanted to go to the grocery store to get milk. I just wanted to go and grab something real quick. But in a smaller town, everybody knows you. There's only one grocery store before you drive a little bit. So I remember sometimes the kids are like, I don't even want to go to the grocery store with you anymore, Dad, because what could be 2 minutes is now going to be 40 minutes. And so sometimes I was on a mission. I would park the car and then I would look. I don't see any of the church's car. And I loved the church family. But I'm like, I don't see that person from town. I don't see the guy from ball hockey. I don't see any of those. And I'm like, let's go. And instantly I shut the door and I'm like bolting in. And then I'd get there and I was like, I'm taking the back way over to the fridge area. Because I'm like, I hope I don't see anybody. The kids are in the car, they want to go, and you're sliding along, and just in those moments, you get to the only spot, and there's no exit strategy. I'm usually thinking, can I go down this lane? Can I go down that lane? And you get to that spot, and we've all been there. There's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide, and you make eye contact. And you know, we're here. And for a while there, I used to run in and say, God, why? And then all of a sudden it changed to, God, man, thank you for setting that up. But along that journey, there is a cost of running. And that's our second truth this morning. What's the cost when we choose not to listen and instead run? What happens to our lives, and ultimately what happens to other lives, when we say, I don't hear you. I don't want to listen. I want to go the other way. We see this truth played out in the text that we read in Jonah 1, verse 4. Jonah runs, and what happens? A storm comes. Who was in the storm? Not just Jonah, right? It wasn't just a dark cloud that followed Jonah. There was a storm, and all the sailors were in the storm. Had the sailors done anything wrong? No. But they were encompassed in the storm because of the running. In our lives, most times we say, it is only going to affect me. My personal disobedience will only affect me. My personal choice to disobey what God has asked or what the Word of God has said is only going to affect me. We talked about it with Samson. We let compromise slide in a little bit, and we say, it's only affecting me. What danger happens when I do this? But I want to tell you, when we choose to run and avoid what God has asked of us, it doesn't just affect you. It is not just a personal effect, but instead it becomes a public effect. Jonah was sent to go, to minister to the Ninevites, so that a city would be changed, that would be turned upside down. And instead of going to Nineveh, it literally, if you were looking on a map of the history of those times, he went the total opposite direction. You know, we have those songs, as far as the east is from the west, that's what he was trying to do. One was this direction, and he's like, I'm booking a ticket the total other way. But when we do that, as it says behind, when we run from God's call, others will pay the price. I want you to let that sink in for a second. When you run from what God has laid on your heart, or what we see in Scripture we know as truth, it affects others. It doesn't just affect you. That neighbor or that person that you're like, I just want to get the milk, and you know that they're about to talk a little bit, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to pretend like I don't see you. Maybe that was the moment where you needed that conversation. That hit home for me in one of those times, actually, at that time it was Foodland where they had a Foodland in town. I know that one. You know that one. They had Foodland, and even then it was open, when we first got there, it was open 24/7 in the summer because it's tourist area. And so I would go late at night, all the locals went about 9 o'clock at night. We're like, everybody else is doing their thing, let's get our stuff and get in and get out. And I'm like, I'm just going in for milk. And I ended up seeing someone who wasn't really frequently in the church very often. They had been a few things for major events, but I knew them from some social things in town. And they caught my eye, and I dodged them the first little bit. I got to be honest. I'm like, oh, it's hot. I don't know. And I wasn't even, you know, I was just finishing some work, so my shirt's dirty, everything's there. And I'm just dodging everything around. And they just happened to always be in every aisle. And I'm like, did you have my shopping list? And then finally, we had made eye contact the first time, and I dodged it. And then the second time, I didn't. And I started to chat with them, and they told me some things. And they were at a real bottom of the rope. And they're like, you know what, I'm just not sure if I can go another day. And it had nothing to do with me except for just being an ear to listen and a hand to extend, and we prayed. But I said, I don't know what my next week would have looked like if I didn't get to chat with you, Curtis. I don't know about you, but that hit home. I had been running. I'm going, I got to go over here. I got to hide over here. I'm behind like the turnstiles. But God kept putting him in my aisle. What price could have been if I didn't respond? What's the cost when we don't respond? That's the journey that was happening with the Ninevites. What happens when we don't? But what happens, and here's the good news, what happens if you know you've had that mistake, you've sat there and you've done it, is there still hope today? I want to tell you yes. If you know that you've been a marathon runner or you're a sprinter, you're really good at it, today I want to tell you that if we stop running, God is a God of second chances. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is the God of second chances. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got a second chance. Because God wants to change our hearts. He's calling us to have a change of heart. In those moments, we see Jonah, and we're going to quickly read through Jonah 3, at Jonah 3, 1 to 5, and then 10. And there's a change of heart that happens in his life. And we see this, and it says, then the Lord spoke to Jonah, how many times? A second time. He didn't listen the first time. He was a slow learner. That's okay. That's like me. He said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time, Jonah didn't run, but he did what? He obeyed. He obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, man, if I had this kind of message and it worked like this, it'd be crazy. He said, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. 8 words, 5 Hebrew words, and everything changes. And it wasn't even a real fancy one. It was like, this many days from now, everything's going to be destroyed. That's what I gave him. And this is what happens. The people of Nineveh believe God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Verse 10, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That's why I ran away. That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Jonah, he's like, just kill me now. Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. So at the very beginning, we see Jonah has a change of heart. He listens and he responds, but it's not fully there. He spends some time pondering and working with God, you know, in the belly. He gets spit up and he's like, I'm going. I'm running the right direction now. But he still hasn't had a full heart change. He went to the right people. He went to the right place. He was doing all the right things, but his heart hadn't been fully transformed to be like our Savior. His heart hadn't been fully transformed. He understood all the right theology, but he wasn't living it out. His message, even though he responded, I'm sure when he said it, he's like, ha, 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 ha. 8 words, 5 Hebrew words in that moment that would say, in this many days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Turn from it. He's like, I hope you don't turn. And you say, well, how can you say that? Well, chapter 4 told us. He needed to have a heart change, a heart posture change. He had the right theology, but the wrong heart. How many times, church and Christendom, do we have the right theology, but we have the wrong heart? We know what the Word of God says, but we don't really live it out. We see in the scriptural days of Jesus' day, those would have been many times the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They knew the law, they knew the right way to do it, but they didn't have the heart of Christ. Church, let it not be said of us. Let it be said of us that when people saw us, it was like they were encountering Jesus Christ, how we lived and how we loved. That's what he calls us to. And Paul reminds us, be imitators of Christ. Walk in love, walk in mercy, walk in truth. Church, that's what he's asking of us from the youngest to the oldest. That's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to go. Go to the ones that you might say, I don't want to reach. But you do. And because you do, change my heart to break for what breaks yours. Let that be said of us, that what breaks the heart of the Father, what breaks the heart of the Son, would break ours. The injustice, the hurt, let it move us. Instead of us sitting there saying, I want justice, because that's what he wanted. Jonah wanted justice. He didn't want them to experience the mercy and the grace of a loving God. A God who stood for truth, and he still does. Understand, we don't mix those two up. But he wanted to display mercy and grace, not just for us, but for those that we don't really want it to go to. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for his amazing grace. Because realistically, there were some times in my life, and doesn't matter who we are, Romans says that we've all fallen short and missed the glory of God. We all miss the mark. We all need Jesus. We are all sinners. We were all destined for hell, but by Christ, but by his grace, but by the cross. If we were looking down from the eyes of a holy God, we would have every right to say, we're the Ninevites. But he showed his loving kindness and his grace and mercy to us when we fully deserved the judgment and wrath. And he says, my grace is sufficient. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he did for me. And now it's my opportunity when he calls and he positions people in my life to offer and extend that same grace and mercy to others. Because freely I have received, so it's time for me now to freely give. That's scripture. That's what he's calling us to. Let's get to the point, church, from the youngest to the oldest in this place or online. Let's make sure that our actions and our words align with our theology. That when we look at how Jesus lived his life and what he has done in the heart of the Father, let it be seen in everything that we do and say. That when the whole office space is saying, I don't want to be around those people, we realize and say, Jesus came for them. And so because he loved them and he came for them, I am going to do the same. Because guess what? He's the whosoever, and we're called to be a family. We're called to actually go to one another, go to those who are least and loved, those ones who are the outcast and the stranger. Jesus did that. We're called to do the same. Will we is the question. So I want us to think on these thoughts just for just a second before we close. Today in this place, this week, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, we first have to ask the question, what's God asking you? What's God asking of you this week? Is he asking you to step out? Is he asking you to share your faith? Is he asking you to pray for somebody? Will you respond or will you run? Yes, he can use a reluctant yes. We saw that. Because if you didn't get to know the rest of the story, he shared that message that you're like, that probably if they were in training, he came and said, Pastor, I want to share an 8-word message on Sunday morning, and this is what I'm going to say. I would probably say, we should probably work on that. But he shares it, and they repent, and they turn from their wicked ways. Revival breaks out. He was a reluctant revivalist, but his heart still needed work. Don't be a reluctant revivalist. He wants revival to break forth in Sudbury. He wants to see that, God wants to see that happen in our province, in our nation, across our globe. Don't be a reluctant yes. Yes, he can use a reluctant yes, but imagine what would happen if we said, God, send me, I will obey. God, send me, I say yes, I'm not running the other way, I'm going to go. So it starts with us making a choice this week, saying, God, I will respond. Then it goes to asking the question, where's your Nineveh? And who's your Ninevites? And get real with it. It might be hard. It might be someone who's done you wrong. And understanding that doesn't remove all that's happened there. But maybe he's going to challenge you to offer forgiveness, even though they don't deserve it. Because forgiveness doesn't mean that what they did was right. It just allows us to act in the same way that Jesus did. So who is that in your life? And then finally, will you respond with a changed heart? That when you go, you're not going like a toddler and going, "Oh, Dad made me go. Father God said you need to go and talk to them. I don't want to talk to them. I hope you find God's grace." Ever been there? He's challenging us to go with a changed heart. To go and say, "He loved me, and thus I love you. His grace and his mercy is more than enough. Experience it." As we offer a hand, as we offer love, as we offer grace, as we offer mercy, he's challenging us, church, to do that. The question becomes, will we? I don't know about you, but I want that said about my life. And I know I can't do it in my own strength, because God's still working on me. And I know he's probably still working on you. So that's why we need his help. So would you stand with me as we pray? And then we ask God, help us in this. Help us to grow, that when we go, we would respond, if you can. That when we go, we would respond with a changed heart. And we would see lives turned upside down in a good way for the kingdom, because they've experienced his love and grace just like we have. So, Lord, today we thank you. First, Lord, we're sorry and we repent of the times where we've gone on the run, where we've ran away from what you've called us. So today we say we're sorry and we're turning. We don't need a giant fish to make us change our mind. Instead, we're turning today and saying we're running towards your call, running to those you've called us to. Right now, God, I pray by your Spirit that you would begin to knock off fear, that you would begin to remove bitterness and unforgiveness in this place. If there's things that have held us back from walking in the fullness of who you've called us to go to, that today, Lord, through your Spirit, you would do a mighty and deep work in us. Not just for us, but that others would not face the price because of our no, but instead they would walk in the life because of our yes. So, Lord, today, as individuals and a church family, we say yes to your call. We say yes to your call to go, to reach the lost, to care for the brokenhearted, to the ones on the outskirts, to the strangers, to the skeptics, to the seekers. We're not going to run the other way, but instead we're going to offer grace and mercy in your love. So move in us and through us for your glory, God. Change what needs to be changed and prepare hearts that even this week as we go to work or school or in our community, that you would place people in our midst and we wouldn't run, but instead we would say yes and we would obey. Be with us, Lord. Holy Spirit, empower us, guide us and lead us for your glory and our good. Lord, we ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen and amen, amen. Be blessed. We love you, church.